Welcome, everyone, to the Pop Culture Podcast by Fantastic Geek. We are continuing yet again our rewatch of the first season of Star Wars Rebels, and nobody does it alone. Joining me, as always, is Pete. Hello, Pete. Pete, I think you're speaking in droid again.
I think I cleared that up there. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, we're only 2 days away when this feed, the Pop Culture Podcast feed, maybe not 2 days, but in a couple days, we'll be going to see the Ant-Man. So just want people to be aware of that.
Well, you'll be going to see it. I've already seen it.
That's true. The commemorative Blu-ray that you somehow got that was also marked property of Paul Rudd. and it was nice emailed him back the pictures of his family and whatnot and the different keepsake ornaments and whatnot. But enough about that. We're talking about a different bunch of scallywags. We're about to watch this ninth episode, as we are numbering them, of Star Wars Rebels, entitled Gathering Forces.
Ready for those forces to gather.
All right, then. Without further ado, we have it all set. We're paused on the starry star field. And, Pete, we're going to go on go. 3, 2, 1, go.
You mean ghost.
Yes. Pete, this feels like we've started mid-story.
Or we've continued from a previous story.
And as I said last week, which of course was not a couple of minutes ago by how we recorded this, the quality of animation on the Inquisitor's helmet, which, gee whiz, I'm glad he's wearing, Pete, since they're in space. I really enjoy it. There's times it looks real.
Because our other characters, who are also in space, need helmets, right?
Well, when you're in a small one-room craft, yes.
It is storytelling nonsense, and he doesn't need a helmet that is in no way as good as the design as his weirdo alien face.
Well, I hate to always be the one to say, but they have less money. Is it possibly a money-saving way? Because now you don't need to animate anything other than his eyes.
Republic credits! We don't take another Republic credits, huh?
Because we're going to exposition to somebody who wasn't there last time. And now you're all caught up at home, especially the 8-year-old.
Why would you have missed the previous episode? Come on. Nice shot there going inverted.
Because, Pete, maybe you're 8 and you had the baseball. Oh. And then you had karate. And then you played some pickup basketball. And you
did apparently a very athletic 8-year-old who probably isn't watching Star Wars.
Well, I mean, the point is, Pete, they're not doing any of their homework because they're going to be a sports star like all 8-year-olds.
Yes. Zeebo is gone.
Oh, man, Pete. What emotion is he feeling right now? Is it hate? And I thought Jedis don't give in to hate.
They do not.
See,
but
look,
he is not a Jedi.
He is not a Jedi yet. Thank goodness, and this is tongue-in-cheek story baloney here, but thank goodness the tracker had a long blue glowy thing.
Yeah,
so even
right?
On a smaller TV in your bedroom as you watch it.
I saw where it went.
Yeah, you see where it goes.
And that our crew could not.
Wordplay. This show in particular has a great sense of how to end the... Like, the act ends for the teaser act to take you to the title card are better than some dramas, some hour-long dramas.
Rarely will you find an animated TV show that just gets better and better week to week as this one did throughout season one.
Totally agree. Totally, totally agree. It's a fun conceit of George's that hyperspace, by its implied definition, is not super fast space. It's, you know, like another dimension. You know, it's another kind of level of, like, you're in hyperspace, you're not in regular space.
It's so funny you say that, because I'm looking at it and reminded, Matt, that it was a rule for the prequels. You cannot have a scene that occurs in hyperspace. They go to hyperspace. You never see a scene in the mottled blue background. But now, in a series set between the two, you see it. And again, they want to get you back to that original.
That's a really weird rule to have, because this is a perfect example here where you need to... There's the easy visual of, okay, they're in this protected, even if you don't know, oh, it's another dimension or it's another reality, you know, whatever, however you would term it from a scientific point of view. It's clear, like, hey, they're in the blue travel space, which is different. You know, people can't sneak up on you a la Star Trek Into Darkness, because that's a different way of traveling
right
through space.
And let's just throw on our helmet, by the way. I want to be alone, man.
I hate you. I hate you, Space Dad.
Leave me alone in my helmet room.
It's a nice addition that he has the holo projector as part of his
yes
Lobot wraparound thingus. It's proof that sometimes the downtime of hyperspace is incredibly compelling, because all this emotion and stuff, you know, it's not action oriented. It's not necessary. It's just really compelling character moments, because the story is allowed to have the downtime that I guess George told them they couldn't have.
They can be compelling moments. Sometimes not so much.
Was that rule in effect in Clone Wars?
I don't believe so. I'm playing through mentally now. I can't come up with a scene that occurred at hyperspace, but I can tell you for a fact it was an issue for the prequels.
Well, I'll tell you conversely, I remember being struck by Clone Wars at how there was many an episode where it's like, oh man, if only we could get back to the ship, then we could let the fleet know where we're at. Because we're in the middle of, like, nowhere and can't be found. And then as soon as they would be, like, radioing in, we're in trouble, they would then send, you know, three, they weren't called Star Destroyers, but whatever they were called, which I'm sure you'll tell me. Yeah, the big cruisers. Like the
capital ships, perhaps?
Indeed, like, they would send a bunch of those seemingly in, like, oh, we just got the word, zip, zap, zoop, we just appeared there. And it felt like a very small or smaller galaxy.
Yeah.
So, Pete, I know we have, I believe at the end of this month is the D23 Disney conference.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't happened yet, right?
No, it is not.
I have a fan fantasy that I was thinking of this morning. And no, it's not that kind. It's at D23. Here's what I'm not making it a prediction. I'm just saying it's like a wish. At the D23 Rogue One presentation, if there is one, or at the Star Wars presentation at New York Comic Con, which also hasn't occurred when people are listening to this, right? Ashley Eckstein comes out to announce the live action Ahsoka to be in Rogue One. That's my wish. That's my grown up wish.
It could be good. D23 is scheduled for August 14th through 16th. Until Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, there is a low-key agreement amongst the studios that Rogue One not really be prominent, despite the fact, Matt, that they recently commenced live-action shooting.
I think that's precisely the kind of fraternal Hollywood agreement that just makes sense. No one's going to remember Rogue One's relationship to Mission Impossible. Is it Rogue Nation? Is that
Rogue Nation?
Rogue Nation. I mean, the two will exist side by side perfectly fine once they're both done with the conception, production, release thing. So that's fair enough.
They were going to call it Stagnation, but they thought better of it.
And I think to call it Star Wars Rogue Nation probably would have been a little strange too. Although, Pete, could we hope to have Tom Cruise, one of your favorite actors, and a little bit of a spiritual
guide
to you, you know,
animal.
What are the odds of seeing Tom Cruise play in one of these the Star Wars movies?
He'll be in a Star Trek movie before he's in a Star Wars movie. He is a open Star Trek fan, probably because he actually resides in that universe.
Yeah.
Hail Xenu.
Indeed.
Matt, is it set looking all familiar?
Yeah, but weren't they here two episodes ago, like, for real?
I think they were, yeah.
So, like, yes, the set looks familiar, and maybe this story started with, hey, we need to recycle that set. Okay, but at least you got here through smart story reasons, not, hey, we have a ship that can go anywhere in a galaxy far, far away. Let's stay on, you know, let's stay on Kansas Tatooine for the entire first season. I mean, the financial considerations for these productions, whether it's live action or animated, it's not. I'm sure there are people listening going, oh, again, with how it's a cheap production. Well, it certainly informs how some of this story is going. I mean, I'm reminded of season four of Battlestar. When is it that they're on New Caprica for?
That would be the end of season two and the beginning of season three.
So the beginning of season three, where it's much time has gone by between the seasons,
mm-hmm.
required, you know, exterior set building and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
They then, knowing how expensive that would be, they then later on in that season, there's a flashback episode back to then.
Right,
why
right.
is a third of that episode flashing back? Because they needed to come up with 1.3 episodes worth of stuff to justify the cost of the particulars for the first episode. So, again, if you get, you know, knowing that makes it more interesting and explains why those story decisions were made. Same thing here. Fine, we're back here to deal with some force stuff, but probably informed by cost considerations.
It's interesting that forgiveness is a theme throughout these two episodes, this and the previous one. It's not really a concept we've ever seen within the Star Wars universe. Even with the turn of Darth Vader, it was never an issue of being forgiven, and kind of interesting thematically.
It is, and as much as I enjoy the Republic phase of these stories, you know, the first three movies in, you know, episode order and Clone Wars, there's a certain arrogance to the Jedi where it's like, oh, you can't ever be wrong because I'm going to lie to your face. But many of the truths we cling to depend mainly on our point of view. So, boom, I'm still perfectly wonderful. if that's your attitude, as the Jedi do have, that they're kind of always right or in the right, then you don't need to do a lot of forgiving. Because if you're either in the right or you're in the wrong.
This is true.
Definitely great story hooks in this episode. Here we are 9 episodes in, and this is... You're starting to get the payoff. And perhaps you haven't in earlier episodes, but here there's just the emotional resonance is really kicking up because you spent all this time getting to know these characters. Now, Pete, this shuttle design, is it the same as we see in Jedi?
It is not. It is actually the concept for it.
I will admit it's been a little while since I've seen Jedi. I mean, obviously the three-wing design, they're similar, but this does feel a bit more clunky, which I think is befitting of that initial design vibe that they're going for.
I mean, there is one visible in the redo of the original Star Wars in 1997, but that, of course, being the original concept art for the tri-wing shuttle, Tydirian style shuttle from Return of the Jedi.
Kind of feel bad for the what are these creatures called?
These are not the the Lothrats. These were Phrynox.
Minok, and I knew that was wrong. But they will chew through all sorts of stuff on the hull.
Minox, yes.
A Phrynox, I think a little bit less so.
They will chew through all of your fries and the stuff on your hull. And they're just generally not good to be around.
Great set and setting to have a lightsaber duel here, particularly with the two different colors. And the fact that it is so dark, and then now they're being lit by the lightsabers, and there's these reds and blues and purples and whatnot. Great shot here, presumably from Ezra's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Not a showy shot, but just really selling us on the Inquisitor's malice, his evil. You know, as I've mentioned to you personally and on some podcasts in the past, I think I have a real distinct memory as a kid of had a dream where I was on the bridge of a Star Destroyer and Darth Vader was coming in from the rear and I was heading towards the front. And of course, as everybody knows, there's these sunken control areas, and I was at the very front of it trying to hide beneath what felt like was a lip of, you know, a foot and a half as Darth Vader was coming closer and closer. I still have the image today, and it was just one of the most frightening dreams I ever had.
I had a dream once where a toilet tried to eat me.
Is that real?
Absolutely.
Well, okay. The second most terrifying dream I had as a kid was a true story. Was a witch had taken LeVar Burton and was boiling him in a big giant kettle. And I woke up in my parents' bed and threw up. It was that frightening.
This is kind of nightmare-esque. This mommy-daddy Phrynox that through the Force Ezra has summoned. And I like that we're not taking the... I'll use your phrase, Matt, story baloney, you know, out of, well, suddenly Ezra's going to grab a lightsaber and Jedi is way out of this. Instead, we go a naturalistic route, which I kind of like.
And certainly ties into what we saw, not in this episode, but the previous Correct. Episode. And despite the fact that all these episodes are serial, this is part two. You know, last one was to be continued. Which was Ezra
with the
force-taming
Lothcats. Yeah.
Lothcats.
And by the way, Matt, little kids can't remember.
this is true. It's been scientifically proven that if you put Shaquille O'Neal in front of a 10-year-old and then have him stand behind a curtain, they will not remember that basketball is a sport.
Yeah.
That's just science.
It's just science.
It's nice that a lot of these, I was going to say Sith guys, I know he's not Sith, which is BS.
But yeah, how can that be? So he's referring to Vader as his master, yet Vader has a master. There's the Sith rule of two. How does the Emperor not know that he's teaching the Inquisitor as an apprentice? And we know in season two there will be additional Inquisitors, and wouldn't they also? Yeah, it's difficult to understand and feels marketing driven.
Is it marketing driven, or is it just a decision to go, you know what, George came up with this rule, which is horse caca and limits us, and we are just going to say, he's not a Sith. Okay, what is he? He's not a Sith. Look. Oh, we might have a Chewbacca a cameo. Oh, okay, you know.
Chewbacca's not a Sith either.
No, I'm saying, like, I get the sense that it's like, no, he's not a Sith. He's not a Sith. Hey, let's talk about the Fulcrum Secret. Or you're like, let's change the subject. The cinematography in these episodes has gotten even better time has gone on. Which that's got to be a weird process to go through, just in terms of you're limited by nothing in terms of camera placement. So that must take some talent as well.
And here to get the picture of the family, much like an earlier episode with some graffiti drawn, it's a little jarring to get a different style of animation within one style of animation.
Nice shot there. I agree, though. It's like hand-drawn pictures. What's up with that?
Did you just say, I agree, though?
No, I said nice shot there as it's pulling away from the cameras on the outside.
But before that, or after that, I think you said, I agree, though, and it sounded like, I agree, though, to which I'm going to reply, no, I agree, though, Zeebo.
Well, Pete, regardless of whether I agree, though, or not, we can all agree with this. Your Twitter followers always come first, just as Greedo shot first. And how can people be in touch with you on the Twitter?
And that's a credo. You can find me on the Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J-K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 5,947 followers.
Oh man, 47. Well, I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost. You can be in touch with the podcast in a variety of ways. We are Fantastic Geek. That is fantastic with a PH. And you can find us under that name on the Gmail, the .com, and the Twitter. But wait, Pete, there's more.
You can also get on facebook.com/Fantastic Geek, again with a PH, all one word. Like us, and we'll like you back.
With that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners. Can't wait to go see Ant-Man in a couple days and podcast that on this feed in the near future. But we, of course, will be back next week for more Star Wars. I give the final word to you.
Ways two there are, Matt, a master and an undisclosed number of apprentices.